Welcome back, new Eumaniacs, to the Spinner Rack here at Season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts.
Andy talking about Justice number 30, and
Steven with an even weirder backup story. You thought the Night Mask ones were weird? The Tyrone ones? Get ready for this.
Now, the Tyrone ones were just bad.
The drawings were weird at times.
That's true.
The New Universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window, and it included real-time progress. The New Universe has changed a lot in 2.5 years, and now we are starting 1989.
Woo!
World knows about paranormals, and the U.S. government has started capturing and drafting them into the Army and CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit, and creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they all seem to be headed towards war.
War.
With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack. Or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. I'm not sure I'd expect anyone to be this is their favorite, but
maybe
you can
some
always
G7 fans.
True. You can find us as well over at kickersinc.com. And if you're really hankering for some up to the moment news, you can find us at X, formerly Twitter. At Kickers Inc.
What's the tagline for our Truth Social account?
More than you can handle. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Distraction. Justice. This week we get back to Justice. Having had his life almost destroyed by a powerful paranormal, John Tenson dubbed himself Justice and gave himself a mission to travel the land, find other paranormals, and judge whether or not they're using their powers properly. Which is pretty much this issue, so it fits.
He's the master of etiquette and formal invitations.
Yes. You did not use the salad fork properly. All right, but the Marvel Age solicit this week in Justice number 30. What will be the final fate of Psi-Force? Well, that's up to Justice and the outcome of the battle inside his mind. Written by Peter David and illustrated by Lee Weeks. 32 pages, Mando paper, direct sales, $1.50. Of course, there's two issues of Psi-Force left, so I'm guessing they don't all die.
You could just let Medusa Web take over the whole book. It seems like what they've been pushing for a while. I don't
Potiphar
know.
And the gang. New book.
I think we will also be discussing this puzzling backup story with some A-level talent. Uncertain what it means or where it goes from here, but you know, it exists, so we'll hit it as well.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe it will be an important key piece of New Universe lore that, I don't know, or something that never gets followed up on, but we'll find out one way or the other. Justice number 30, came out January 10th, 1989. So
Ooh,
finally, the 89.
1989 is the number. Another summer.
Okay.
I'm not the hip hop guy, so.
You're not?
I am not. No.
All right. Am I?
I thought you were.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Oh.
I do own Macho Man Randy Savage's rap album, so does that count?
I was thinking if you were more of a third base kind of guy, but okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, it's kind of a fun cover, if a little strange and interesting. Kind of like Silver Agey, I guess. Was it like
yeah,
Julius
kind of like a
Schwartz
DC,
kind of?
like
Yeah.
where they had, you know, like some crazy thing where like the cover they give it to someone to like write a story around this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so it's Justice sitting at the desk with the big old gavel over his head saying, "Psi-Force, I find you guilty." And then, like, little tiny Psi-Force people on the desk in various poses of either like running away or cowering in fear, like he's gonna smash him.
You can tell who's not the hero of this story.
I guess, jeez.
Man, don't hurt me. Yeah.
Though I have to say, the funniest part for me is his little placard that says Judge Justice, which looks like it's covered in poop. I mean, could that be anything else?
Is.
It's
Yeah. It does have like a steaming pile of something that is labeled a Judge Justice.
right? I mean, it could be like desk. I think it's supposed to be like the shadows of the characters on like the shiny desk or something, but it also kind of looks like stink lines coming off of the big
Right,
poodoo.
the stink lines really add it, but
So
I mean, it's not carved into any shape. It's just blobby brown stuff. So,
yeah,
is
steaming
that
pile
a
of justice. Huh.
joke? I don't know. You the he f so he finds Psi-Force guilty, but what is the sentence?
The sentence is death. Yeah. Anyway, it's definitely a fun cover. So, and yeah, we do get Peter David, of course, who's been ongoing writer. Lee Weeks continuing. So we lost him a little bit, but seems like he's back for the end of the run. And yeah, so like the inside cover's got the classic new universe description of Justice, kind of added a little recap. Now that the threat of Rod's vow has ended, Justice must decide if Psi-Force themselves have used their paranormal powers well, or should they be punished?
Looking at the first paragraph, it's again one person out of every million. When just last week DP7's intro said two persons.
You're still screwing that up.
We can't decide. I don't know. Anyway.
One and a half. The error bars are big. But yeah, so I mean, Justice kind of got wrapped up into this big epic storyline with Psi-Force and this being trapped in the Siberian Project. He tagged along with the Medusa Web to, presumably rescue them. Though he sort of had his own agenda where, in my head, he should go to try and stop Rod's vow. He had kind of assumed a mission from the Lord that, he needed to judge Psi-Force because they knocked some stuff onto Kleenex and almost hurt his daughter, and that kind of pissed him off, basically, right? And that's fair, right?
He's overcompensating for being an absentee father, if that's
Yeah,
what they're
there you
saying.
go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But in the last issue of Psi-Force, they took out Rod's vow, who mostly just kind of stood there and screamed things at them. But eventually he got wasted. But at the very end of that previous Psi-Force, Justice blindsided Wayne and kind of gave him a gentle sword to the back, kind of like a steaming burn mark, not a like total vaporization, leaving nothing but a hand and a head or anything, So you went easy.
Yeah, your kill count is really way down, Justice. It you should
Know.
graph it out. It's like the first year and then
It's just sadness after that. Well, anyway, getting into the comic, basically we pick up right where we left off in Psi-Force then, where Justice is kind of like shooting off his laser, I guess, or his sword attack nearby some people, right? Maybe Psi-Force, maybe not. And we get sort of thought bubble narration screaming. What's that screaming? Lindsay, that's it. And Kathy cursing a blue streak. What's she saying? You killed Wayne? Is that what he did to me? And now he's cutting down the others with his sword and shield. So again, it's kind of like he's narrating as we get a fight scene. Justice uses his shield to kind of like push the Psi-Force teens out of the way. Potiphar is kind of like posing, and then he gets smacked in the head by like the little shield bits. So again, he's not so much trying to kill him, but he knocks him out. Then we get some more of Wayne getting hard to see. Am I really dying? If I am, then so help me. And then he kind of blacks out. So I guess we're seeing this from his perspective, at least a little bit, because it's kind of down on the ground. I'm taking him with me. Boom. And then we get this huge two-page spread. And we get the title of the book, Psi Unseen, PSI, right? So keeping the gimmicks going. He continues, I am dead.
Dead. I think that's justice, though.
Is that justice?
Instead of I am
Oh, good catch.
dead.
So, like, typically we get I am justice with the justice logo. Then Wayne takes him out, so he gets I am dead. So this is Wayne interrupting. You're dead, you white-haired monster. You thought you could kill us one at a time, but we're a team. Me, Kathy, Boyd, and Lindsay.
And maybe Johnny, I do.
He doesn't really know Johnny that much.
Oh, that's right.
He
I
hasn't
was
gone through.
wondering why Johnny doesn't really pop up, but you're right. He's Wayne's not. They're
Lee
not.
Weeks said, "There's no way I can draw both Johnny and Lindsay in the same comic, so I'm just going to leave him out of it." And smartest choice ever, right?
Perfect. Yes.
So instead of the Justice logo, we got the Psi Force logo. I says, "And we're going to take you out. Do you hear me? Do you hear?" And then Justice interrupts him. He's like, "Yes, Wayne, I hear you loud and clear." So, a little talk back. Justice's powers were always kind of interesting, like how he could see playback. You know, when she kind of like goes back into and looks back into the past and stuff. So I think Peter David always kind of likes doing a little bit of a interesting twist on Justice's abilities.
Right.
But yeah, so basically, like, everybody's down. In the big splash page, it looks like a beam kind of went from Wayne to all the Psi-Force kids and Justice and just kind of like zaps everyone in the head. We cut back to the survivors, right? So basically, the Medusa web's still up. So Potiphar and Babel talking, where Babel wants to take him back to Superior to the Siberian Project to help them. And Potiphar just wants to kill Justice. He's like, first, Babel, we kill Justice while he's helpless. And he goes, not advisable. We don't know what happened or how much of a part of it Justice is. We kill him, we might kill them too. You know, right? Dream logic, right? You can't, one, if you kill them in real life, then you die in the dream? Or not? No, okay, that's a little messed up.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking it's like a snake that'll like bite you as you try to kill it or something.
Right.
Just reflex, you know, that sword just incinerated everyone in a 2 mile radius, but I didn't know where I was going. I was unconscious.
Well, from there we cut back to Coney Island. There was a little interlude where Chauncey, shoot,
Rudy.
Rudy, right, and Playback were investigating some mysterious stuff going on, or maybe a paranormal, and we got sort of like some eyes glowing under the boardwalk or something. But yeah, they're basically walking together. Miriam's kind of wishing Justice was there, while Chauncey's like, "Don't sweat it. Whatever comes up, Rudy and I can handle it, right, Rudy?" It's like you have no powers, and Rudy mostly hangs out on the couch, right? So,
Yeah, the Rudy's the big guy and he's doesn't really seem too active.
right,
His
he kind of just makes
power
things rumble and quake, so
sort of, yeah, I don't
not
know.
sure how useful that would be in a fight.
It's yeah. So yeah, they've been in Coney Island for a couple issues now, kind of walking around, so we're back
I
to that.
guess, right, for months.
This yeah that you we see in this late new universe stage that they're much more willing to have several issues sort of strung together that take place over a couple of days and then just sort of hand wave some months go by in between at some point,
Sure.
but
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm willing to accept that.
it's
But
fine.
anyway, so she's kind of lagging behind, following them, you know, thinking about, you know, I wish, you know, there's something going on there. Everything looks just kind of like dead and dark on Coney Island. She sees something off in the distance. She had been trailing behind, walking them, so she goes to investigate the Ferris wheel. The gates are kind of closed and locked. So she's like, well, it's padlocked. And I thought I'd seen something here, but obviously not. So she starts to walk away, but like horror movie style, the gate kind of like creaks and swings open behind her, and the lock came loose. So she kind of looks back, and there's a spectral figure of a woman with a southern accent. So there's a spooky ghost person shows up. She's like, "Hi, how are y'all? Oh,
How y'all doing?
poor little thing, you look near to freezing. Well, y'all come on in." So it's like a friendly southern ghost. Don't eat the ghost biscuits.
Blanche Dubois comes in spectral form, yeah.
So like playback kind of like is taken aback. She's like, no, stay back, or she can't do anything anyway. But the ghost kind of grabs her, like pulls her into the dark, and then the gate shuts. So a mystery for another day, I guess. The Chauncey and Rudy realized that they had kind of left her behind. He's like, hey, did you hear something? Sound like two women, a thwomp and a clank. So like supreme hearing from this guy or something. But yeah, they turn back and realize that, they left her in the dust, and they now have no idea where she is. So and I guess that we'll have to follow up with that one. That's all we get on this one. So we'll see if that becomes a new storyline, or when justice shows back up, rescue the kidnapped people. Who knows?
We can I'll throw out more clues when we get to the discussion stage, I guess, because I
All right.
remembered from a couple issues ago how this is what I think we the clues are pointing towards.
All right, fair enough. So we go back to the kids, and the Psi-Force group kind of wakes up. So Wayne's still kind of lying down there, but they're in a room, and they're like, wait, is this the sanctuary? It's like, but
Is
sanctuary
it
closed up.
infinite?
I know, like missed opportunity, right? Like totally lost in the million room
Like the
sanctuary.
MC Escher thing that Night Mask was always walking through. And
Yeah.
yeah, it's like, actually, this looks very familiar.
Yeah, I mean, it's you we pan out to a view of it, and it's basically like the whole house building just kind of like floating in dead space kind of thing. It's I think the movie Zathura did that. Yeah, it's kind of like the follow-up to story to Jumanji to a degree,
Oh, okay.
but
I think it also looks like when Stephanie was in a coma, remember that sort of astral space, mental
yeah.
space.
That's true.
Yeah.
And there's little like green discs that looks like Justice's stepping stones. But yeah, so like Thomas basically goes out the front door like he's gonna take off or see what's going on, but he just kind of half falls into space. And Kathy has to bring him back in. She's like, Boyd, stop screwing around and get back in here. It's like, you're the queen of telekinesis, Ling. Give me a lift. It's like, it's
You're
totally bomb for someone who almost fell into the void of mind space.
the queen of lock picking or whatever.
The master of lockpick, the master of unlocking, is that what it was?
Okay.
Resident Evil.
Yeah, sorry.
So she kind of floats him back in, and they're like, what's going on out there? And Wayne's laying on the ground, thankfully with Wayne hair again. So like they get him back in the dream so we can tell these people apart. He's like, what was that out here? He says, my mind. It's like, cripes, don't you get it? We're in Wayne's head, this is Thomas. He's got nothing on his mind. Okay. Weird, snappy one-liner.
That whole like that second speech balloon looks like the lettering's a little different from the first one. So I kind of wonder if they, that was like a last minute addition or like a change of something. I don't know, but
Yeah. Anyway,
it's
it's kind of
whatever it is,
weird.
the joke is not that great, so.
No, it's terrible. So Thomas starts kind of yelling at Wayne, like, get us out of here, wake up, cut us loose. And we get a word balloon from afar. I'm afraid that's not possible right now. And Justice basically pops up into the room. He's like, you, whatever you're doing, you knock it off. You don't understand who you're messing with. So Boyd sounds like a little kid here. Actually, it appears you don't understand. You see, I'm in control here. And then he kind of like stretches them out visually in kind of a cartoonish way. He says, I control the vertical, I control the horizontal. And then we get kind of like another stretch, again, kind of back in the cathode ray tube days kind of thing, like speed
Yeah,
control
it's
stuff.
so that was like a line from the intro to what is it, The Outer Limits maybe?
Oh.
And these two panels where he's kind of demonstrating is kind of cool. It's like the silly putty, like
Yeah.
stretching it out in
Right.
different directions. And
Yeah.
with a interspersed with a nice shadowy justice
Yeah, I do
portrait.
like that shot on page 9 of him. But yeah, again, like Thomas is kind of a baby. Is that some kind of trick? You just got shields and force beams, that's all. It's like he can't have taken over Wayne's mind. He's a kick butt telepath. You can't
Yeah.
beat up my dad.
He's like the new wave telepath, not like you stodgy old telepaths. Wait, are you a telepath, Justice? No, man.
Well, anyway, Boyd kind of like lunges for him, comes running at him, but gets stopped sort of instantly by a barrage of Justice's little green shields kind of smacking him in the face over and over again. Kathy steps in, she's like, "Stop, you're hurting him." He's like, "I'll make you stop. I'll rip your rotten heart right out of your." But his shield actually blocks her, newly invented strange psychic bolt power thing that she has now instead of just moving objects. And then she complains that her sh that his shield should be able to stop bullets, but not that. And like as if she read his new universe file page or something. That's not
Look,
fair.
I do 3 hit dice of damage each time I fire a psychic bolt at you, an unprotected non-psionic. It's right there in the manual. Come on.
But Justice basically returns fire with a sword and kind of keeps the beam on her for a little bit. He's like, she's like, "I can fight this, I can do it, he can't beat me, it's possible." And then she gets vaporized. So it's like, but we're in a dream, so like the stakes are kind of low.
Truly, yes.
And I struggle. I mean, again, like this must be Lindsay in the bottom of 11 saying that
That's
we're
my
all gonna
guess,
die,
yes.
right? That's kind of drawn again, like kind of like a dude. But the
It's
hair is
Young
clearly,
Justice now on their
yeah.
side, I guess.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
The Justice starts monologuing. He's like, "You don't understand anything, do you, Boyd? You see, I was trapped for over a year in someone else's mental fantasies. Eventually, I was r rescued from that situation by a fellow named Nightmask. See Justice number 15. I spent a month with him after that learning mental discipline so I could be caught, so I wouldn't be caught twice that way." It's like, okay, that's news.
Yeah, we didn't see that on panel, but
Maybe that would
okay.
have been a backup story or something. It
Oh, yeah.
says, "In the areas of the mind, we're in my home stadium. So as long as I just say no to drugs, I can be quite formidable." And I'm assuming that's a reference to when they tried to drug him and keep him asleep, and then he went crazy back and felt like he was back in the Winterlands.
Yeah, his official handbook page specified that his whatever experiences made him very susceptible to drug-induced hallucinations or something. So, as
Yeah.
long as he's clean and sober, he's formidable.
Good to go, I guess. Yeah. So again, Thomas is kind of whining, "Kathy." So he brings Kathy back to life and or just makes her reappear. He's like, "Kathy, this is nuts. You aren't capable of powers like this." Well, talking to Justice. He's like, and Justice again is like, "Indeed. Are you aware that you never see the most dangerous part of an iceberg? A mere fraction is above the water. The remaining 7/8, the truly dangerous part, is below the surface. Nothing more dangerous than a wet iceberg." I'm assuming he's referring to boats crashing into it, but I mean, icebergs aren't that scary.
It's yeah, the visual metaphor is good, but is it spooky or is it intimidating? I don't
Yeah,
know.
not
The monologue continues.
really. Anyway, so he's like, "Ready to sink unwary ships," and then he hits him against the wall with the shield again. So he's kind of explaining his powers now, I guess. "My sword, my shield are merely the surface manifestations of my power, the most convenient to use. My shield, such as those keeping Mr. Boyd pinned, repel attacks, all manner of attacks. Since they are created by my mind, they easily repel mental attacks as well as physical. They are psionic shields, after all, not patriotic frisbees. So I'm assuming he's making fun of Captain America, who doesn't exist in this universe, except for, I guess, as a comic book.
That was my impression, yes.
Yeah.
Did
Yeah.
we see like the All-American using? No, I don't think
No,
so.
we haven't seen him do anything. He just showed up. He's like, I'm ready to defend justice. And then I guess he's training with Night Mask or something.
It takes a while to get that mental discipline. Jack Magnacone is kind of a slow study. Sorry. Sorry.
So anyway, like his sword is simply an outward expression of my desire for something not to exist. Think of it as nihilism with teeth. So again, this is a lot of rambling from Justice, and then he kind of like pops them into a cage. So again, he seems to have like dream or mind control here. And he says, I intend to put you on trial before I kill you. All right, so we briefly cut back to Siberian Project. So Babel's got them all in Star Trek beds, I guess. Like, all kind of lined up next to each other
Medevac. What do you
with,
call that? I don't know. Yeah.
no useful medical equipment or personnel whatsoever, but it looks science fiction-y.
The
Him and Potiphar are basically just arguing again because Potiphar has, again, like a weird sci-fi space laser and wants to shoot them. It's like, what?
pew
Isn't this new
pew.
universe? Shouldn't that be just like a pistol or something? What is
Yeah,
that?
he had like some big gun.
Yeah.
Just use that, you know, it's fine.
I got my kid's toy ray gun here, but now with my psionic mind powers, if people think it's a real gun, then it will shoot real lasers or something.
It'll affect them in the dream, but not, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, can we cut back to the Cyforce kids in the mental prison inside the sanctuary on trial by justice? Kathy starts quoting Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland, which every character in every fictional thing seems to like to do.
I swear, like the Peter David has maybe even used this line before, but I can't remember when, where or when.
Maybe. I mean, maybe that sort of formulated with him. It's like, I'll be judge, I'll be jury, said cunning old Fury. That does sound familiar. Maybe it's in Mark Hazard or something.
I could also, I'll be cunning Jack Fury. Anyway, yeah, when we said that Portrait of Justice on a previous page was awesome. This portrait of Kathy, somewhat less so.
Yeah, a little weak. She really needs her hair back, too. It's just
Yeah.
some sort of
Thanks.
distinctive feature.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she kind of lectures him. How can you go around judging a teenager? None of this was our fault. I didn't ask for this. I just wanted to survive. Doesn't that matter? And like Wayne chimes in, everything we did was just to survive. What gives you the right to judge us? What makes you any better than us? Stronger powers, I guess. He says, because I never killed an innocent to save my own life. And so then we get the judgy flashback period, which I actually kind of like. This is like, it's just, tearing up on Nicias's work, maybe a little bit. It's like,
I
look
was
at all
kind of
these horrible
wondering if
things you
this is
kids
like
did.
a an argument between two creators here. Yeah.
Yeah, so like he flashes him back to, he's like, you cling to life so desperately that you use your power of mental compulsion to make others fight and die for you. And there was that part where Travis in the Max Armor Mark II was coming at them, and then he compelled like regular people to try and stop it. And then like Travis went crazy and was just shooting up everybody. So yeah.
Yeah.
And then he kind of goes back into Boyd. You enjoy beating people up. You always have. And if you got your power, just give you new and better ways to beat them up. And kind of flashes back to him, like really laying into Troublemaker. But he also beat up the Red Sun character. Shoot, name escapes me. In the previous issue, though, but like Monster Woman.
Oh, she's voting now, yeah.
She won, yeah.
I thought it was this was one of the arguments with between him and Tyrone there, but you're right, that's probably troublemaker.
I'm guessing, yeah, I think that when he was tearing up Troublemaker, and then they had to kind of pull him off of him.
Right.
But yeah, again, like, it's like you, Kathy's, you blame us, aren't you listening? It's not our fault. They kept pushing us and hunting us, and then he gives them a hard time for when the Psyhawk was fighting Rodsvow, and they like used the monument to like smack him around, like not worried about all the collateral damage, which I think we commented on when we were reading it too. So, again, you could have flown upward, lured him away just from those powerless. Instead, you staged spectacular lunacies, destroying monuments, smashing through buildings, uncaring of who might be injured or killed. My own daughter narrowly avoided death, and a close friend of hers was hospitalized. Totally not her boyfriend. I'm in denial about that.
Some random strangers I never met seem to have had a bad day and missed their train. Anyway, I could continue, but.
Anyway, and so we kind of get to like to the culmination of all of this, and he's like, we did care, we just did what we had to, and all the kids are like, I guess so, and like, you bet. And then Lindsay finally chimes in. She's kind of looking and scowling at Thomas. It's like, no, we didn't. I hated what we were doing. I said so right then, but you all shouted me down. Kathy, you talked about getting back at the government, so that made it okay to destroy buildings that people were in. People, for heaven's sake. And you were saying I hadn't been through what you'd been through, that I didn't understand what it was like. As if people trying to kill you makes it okay for you to kill innocent people instead. Well, that sounds relevant. We never said it was okay, Thomas says. Yes, you did, and you acted like it. Like we could justify anything because they were out to get us, and the whole world was our battleground. It's like, oh, geez, that also sounds relevant. The world outside your window. And every time we made excuses and justified it, a little more of our souls shriveled up. And it'll just keep going and going until we're dead on the outside, or we've killed everybody, or we're dead on the inside. Please, Wayne, say you understand. I don't want to be all dead inside. I don't want to be like justice. Ouch.
Burn.
So I do like this next thing. Like after this big emotional moment from Lindsay, Justice is like chilling in a chair, and he kind of looks like he fell asleep listening to it. It's like, oh, what? You were saying something?
The statuary behind him, I thought at first it was supposed to be like, hear no evil, see no evil, but no, it's just
Oh yeah,
okay.
posing gremlin-y monkey things. There's some
Yeah.
meaning there that we're not getting, I'm sure.
Why not?
Anyway, Lindsay kind of like collapses into Wayne's arms. Please, please, not like him. And Justice kind of stands up from his chair. Thomas is kind of reaching out to kind of grab him. He's like, "All right, you crud! Don't just stand there. Finish it already. Finish it." Justice kind of holding them there.
Rorschach, Watchman, it's called.
Holding his hand up, like he's gonna zap them all. But he makes the bars go away. Thomas again, kind of hot-headed. He's like, "I get it. You don't have the guts to murder us in cold blood, so you want to kill us while we're fighting, so you'll feel better." Well, I'm not gonna make you feel better. I'm gonna tear your head off. So he goes charging at him again, but this time Justice kind of lets it happen, presumably. So he kind of tackles him, and then poof, that's it. They wake up in their Star Trek beds, I guess. And so, yeah,
There's
it's
those futuristic outfits,
right. This is all of them kind of
jumpsuits.
lying there. Kathy gets up first. They see Justice's eyes snap open pretty quickly. It's like, we're out. Boyd did it. Boyd, where is he? What did you do to him? But if we remember, he got fried by Rodsvow, so he's like legitimately hurt and not just, trapped in the dream kind of thing. So, like, he's in intensive care in another wing. And then Justice kind of stands up, looming over Kathy. He's like, "Well, going to discover whether your power works better against me in the real world than in the unreal." And he's got this scary looking face, and she's like, "I no. No, if it does, you die. If it doesn't, I die. Either way, what's the point?" And then Troublemaker's apparently there too. And he starts yelling, "That's it? This guy tries to kill you, and that's your whole response?" And she's like, "Yeah, he did try to kill us, but he didn't. Why didn't you?" And Justice just ignores him. He's like, Babel, can you get me a ride back to the US? And she's like, don't we even write answers? And Justice just walks off. He's done with the whole thing, I guess. Lindsay's impassioned closing trial speech saved the day. But she kind of gets to the end. She's like, he has a daughter, Kath. Maybe he decided he couldn't judge us without judging her and didn't want to do that. Or me, how the hell would she know all that? Or maybe he wasn't really as powerful as he was putting on. Or maybe, like you said, maybe he figured, what's the point? Oof. End.
When I think of this story, I'll think of what's the point?
What's the point? I mean, it's a Psi-Force issue, really. Like it's that it totally fit, rounds out and finishes their arc. Maybe a little more so than even a Justice issue, if we're being serious.
Yeah, Psi-Force definitely front and center, and probably, I don't know, Siberian Project Part 4B
Yeah.
epilogue.
I still do wish this had that part of the continuation, right? Like that label should be on the cover.
Seven part series, yeah, that would be even, well, that first one, I don't know, but definitely these last two issues have been integral to the Siberian Project.
Right.
So,
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
if you're reading Psi-Force, like you kind of need this one, right? Like the last one ended on a cliffhanger, so like you have to read this, otherwise you're never gonna know what's going on.
Yeah. Don't try to get away with just flipping through it on the newsstand. Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, yeah, she's, what was it? He has a daughter. He had said, like, he mentions Angela when he lets them go. He's like, I'm sorry, Angela. So if he's got a change of heart or like perspective, or he just decided that Lindsay's speech, carried the day,
Right.
is kind of left ambiguous.
Yeah.
If the latter, then Lindsay's power actually did something for once.
Sort of, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Saved them all in the end. Just took a
Didn't that.
different comic book writer to do it, I guess.
We'll definitely not start a how many time Lindsay saves them count. But
Yeah.
anyway.
Yeah, I really like how we kind of mentioned it already, but how it did really sort of wrap up, like, because the from when they've when Psi-Force really decided to take on the CIA and like storm the government kind of stuff, like they were just really getting kind of bold and reckless, and it seemed a little silly at the time, I think. Right, so having them kind of like called out on it, with Lindsay as the voice of reason or sort of the outsider perspective a little bit, because she hasn't been like on the run, people trying to like catch and kill all the time for the entire, 2 years kind of thing. So
Yeah,
it
she
kind
had
of
a
makes it make
year.
sense.
Yeah, she didn't have the time in Sanctuary with a lot of those adventures. Yeah, that works. That works. Overall, this is kind of what I was expecting, the sort of mental showdown more than like a physical one.
Yeah.
Became very literal, I guess, but
What was it, the like, this was your life or something like that? Like
yeah, that was a hard one.
the
Yeah, the I wonder if it is like a disagreement. I don't even know if it's call it that strongly, but this was just like Peter David commenting on these things going on in this other book, or this is like the letter page for Psi-Force was like, did you just kill a bunch of innocent people?
Yeah.
You ever gonna come back to that kind of think about it or something? An
Letters to
interesting,
Psi-Force.
yeah, Kathy. Taking on the government, destroying all the. Starting to sound like me. She's yeah. The whole Psy-Hawk Rajvow showdown in D.C. went by pretty fast and was kind of focused on all the mano a mano action.
Right.
But you saw a little bit from the. Mac Browning and crying over the Constitution getting burned and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, they did. We oh, there was a reporter killed and stuff, but you didn't see like crowds of people necessarily getting killed. It was also the physics of it were a mess. That using the Washington Monument as a baseball bat is
Yeah.
whatever. Let's not.
Shouldn't he be judging the Medusa web who
That is actually a good thing.
backed the Siberian Project, who was basically taking care of all these kids despite all of their outbursts? Like they were kind of like decidedly, nice to them, really honestly. They gave them a pretty, really long leash. And all of these guards and stuff who were just doing their job, and like the Medusa web comes in and just starts blasting and fighting everybody and just murdering everyone.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising they were like, let's go back and rest up at Siberian Project. And it's like,
Didn't
you guys just killed a bunch of
you
people there.
killed
I'm not sure
all
you're
of our
gonna
friends and
Silatochka got killed by you, Potiphar. That's right. You killed the guy. Yeah, the
and he had a
justice kind
family.
of alluded to their moral ambiguity, but then it's like just I was just listening to the episode where we covered the Travis termination and stuff. In several cases, these are stone cold killers
Yeah.
that
But I guess they're his ride, so he kind of has to put up with them.
maybe. Yeah, don't I don't know. Potiphar is not a paranormal, so
Oh, I
actually
guess.
maybe that's an issue. I don't know.
I mean, you could just ice him anyway. I never liked that guy.
Let's see. I liked also the sort of description of Justice's that he trained under Night Mask, and so now his mental power, he's not just going to get mentally manipulated by someone again. He is and I don't know. It's because you've gone through a couple of issues now where he's just one guy in a team that's sort of, in this battle zone. And it's like, you said you were like one of the most powerful people on Earth. Shouldn't you be leading the charge or something? But
Right.
so, don't be like, my character is the most powerful. Then he's in another book and he's like, pew, pew. Okay.
Yeah, he really did nothing last issue. Whereas, like, Psi-Force, the comic kind of did Justice dirty in terms of making him look kind of weak and only mildly effective. Justice
Right.
made Psi-Force look good, I guess.
Yeah, if it had been if he'd have like tried going after Rodstvow him like one on one, got kind of knocked down, and then Psi-Force had to like taking him on something
Yeah.
to kind of puff him up a bit more. So yeah, I do like his description that like these tricks I do are just a very small part of the story, but
Yeah, I
okay.
don't know. I was less enamored by that part. It seemed kind of like power creep or something like that. Like, I'm just gonna add to all the magical things I can do instead of just having laser beams, shields, and aura detection kind of stuff, which is already quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, we don't see it. Well, I don't know. It sort of depends on whether you call this a new power, but
Yeah, I guess it's not necessarily new, but it's still kind of like, oh, well, now it works on psychic stuff, right? Just like last
yeah.
issue, he could sword and shield at the
Oh yeah, don't even get me started.
same time.
That's true. That's true. Let's see. I was gonna say, we want to get and wheel over to the Miriam Morse playback part.
Oh,
They
right. Yeah.
finally like drop something useful there, because when the ghost or whatever it is grabs her, they say the Forsaken have been waiting ever so long. The Forsaken were the ones who sent Quill.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch
That,
that.
yeah, that glowy judge thing I was
Yeah.
communicating was saying the Forsaken are have to be protected or something. And I
Gotcha.
was like, what? Who is that? So this is somehow ties in with that. And I think the last issue, we saw some sort of glowy eyes that were maybe not Rod Stroud, that maybe that was the judge again, like he's still
Okay.
there.
That's good, because I was wondering if that one's just going to get left out, like.
Yeah, that's I wasn't sure if we were getting getting something clear, a clear connection this time. But when now that they're name dropping, I'm pretty sure that's the
Yeah, that makes a lot of
whatever.
sense. Even better.
So that's cool.
Moving things a little along a little bit in the background, and presumably having her captured leaves the opening for the showdown of having to rescue and confront these guys.
Something's
Something
gotta happen, yeah.
like something.
Oh, playback never came back. Oh, that's great. Anyway, I'm trying to eat my sandwich. Okay. Take it easy, Justice. Those time zone changes are difficult, I know. So let's see. Any more thoughts on this issue or perhaps the Siberian Project as a whole?
Ooh, Siberian Project as a whole, it was a mixed bag. Though I feel like it ended relatively strongly. If I didn't particularly like the last Psi-Force issue, but like it's still, like the way it kind of ended and this kind of wrap up, I did like quite a bit. So, it was kind of rocky, I guess, right? Like maybe it's just the art, or just I
Yeah,
wasn't really
things
on
would.
board with the reasoning for Justice having it out for Psi-Force so bad. Like it seemed a little manufactured, but.
Yeah, the like we got to get the hero teams fighting the hero guy. Okay, I don't know. That's the overall, yeah, as you say, up a lot of ups and downs, art and words fighting each other. Probably could have been, a smoother, better experience with consistent art, but yeah, the story also had a couple of issues with it. So there's credits, but also blame to go around. Overall, I mean, as I guess the only big crossover multi-part story. Generally successful. I mean,
Like a C plus kind of.
yeah, it's I don't know, B minus for the total, I suppose. It's as with so many things with the new universe, like I see what you're going for. This was done better later, you know what I mean? Things like that. So
And a lot of like cool potential too, like if the whole thing wasn't ending, and everybody kind of knows that at this point, or at least the writers and stuff do, I'm sure, then you could have done more, because it seemed like they started to flesh out the Red Sun like Russian characters a little bit, but then they just started kind of wasting them
there's
and
just two
presuming,
left. What is
right?
that? Russia has about at this point has, population in the hundreds of millions as well. So,
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean, it would have been cool if, like, after all of this, then everybody kind of reevaluates, right? Like, some of the Medusa web, and maybe even like one of the Russian characters besides Johnny or something. Like, all right, well, like we need to get out of here. Like, I don't want to stick around Russia anymore, so they can control us, and then they go back to the States with the kids, and maybe some of the Medusa web, aren't fully on board with the mission, and like everybody kind of breaks up and like a new group forms with some new characters, kind of thing would be kind of cool. I think we're going to get that a
Yeah.
little bit anyway, but it seems like it's just going to be Johnny and then maybe
Yeah, I
one
would have
issue.
if a couple of them had decided to stay in Russia or something, help them rebuild, something like that.
It's like, why go back to the States where they're just trying to capture and kill me all the time?
Yeah.
I guess that could be Boyd, like him and Johnny sticking around would have made sense.
Yeah.
Maybe they
Yeah.
will. I don't know. I didn't read the next two.
You can surprise us, sure. We
I'm just going to
definitely
spend the rest of my days trying to get this kid to talk and learn Russian.
Oh, that's more of trouble than. Oh, well.
To
Oh, man. Don't get me started. Anyway. Yeah. The.
be immersed in the language, you'll have no choice.
This is true. The title. I just have the titles of everything written down here. And it's like Nicieza's has these like nice, Robert Ludlum novel titles, The Hero Killing, The Serpent's Kin, and Peter David's are all little jokes. Heavy psi, psi unseen. Yeah, what can I do? Well, yeah,
Ran it through the pun generator.
So let's see. Any th more a grade for justice? Number 30.
Don't know. I don't want to go too high. I'm thinking B plus.
Yeah, I was gonna say B, like the positives and negatives kind of cancel each other out a bit.
Yeah. I didn't feel too many negatives on this one. I like this one quite a bit.
And yeah, and B plus is yeah, it's as
I
I said,
feel.
it was it it felt like I what a little bit what I was expecting, but it was in a good way. So
Yeah.
yeah.
I feel like if you gave Lee Weeks like a couple months to do this whole comic, it would look amazing. But it's like, like the stuff that he clearly takes a good amount of time on, like just like that big page in Justice where Angie like brought back the dead and that kind of stuff. Like imagine like a whole comic that looked that nice. Like, but like his stuff is so good that like when he's doing like the quick work of like the interlude panels kind of stuff, like you just see a huge difference in it. So it can be a little jarring of like kind of the stuff that clearly was really well done and he took a lot of time on, and the stuff that's kind of like, all right, I gotta get this panel done. But
Yeah. Just
yeah,
look, I
no.
mean, I can look at the same page and like there'll be panels with lots of backgrounds, heavy defined shadows, very,
Yeah.
and yet above it, there's two panels with nothing.
Right.
Big empty space void that you're. So yeah, that makes sense. Well, let us take a gander at the backup story, which is a backup story. It is entitled Psycho Killer, which is a song by Talking Heads.
Yep.
And the credits are interesting. Eric Seary, writer. I forget now because there's also Mark Seary, the colorist. And I was like, wait, which one do we see a bunch before? I wanted to say. Anyway,
I think the colorist, yeah.
penciler Mark McLaurin, inker Young Jim Lee. What?
What?
These original art pages are probably the most valuable thing you could find. Lee, I don't even remember doing art inking before, but who knows
Apparently, yeah.
what the story behind that is. We don't have access to, so let's jump on in.
Maybe he did this one. He's like, I don't like this. And then got that, was like Scott Williams or whatever to ink everything else forever.
Yeah, he must be on Punisher, I think. Oh, what is it? Punisher War Journal or something.
Yeah.
The splash page is a rather grim looking fellow in a rustic cabin inside. It appears it is like a fireplace and a door, and it's like a skylight. You can see the moon through it, and you got a little narration from this guy. He's this sort of typical looking dude with glasses. Outside, the winds blow between the trees, and the moon shines down on the forest. Inside, I think about the wreck my life has inexplicably become. The vast Oswego forest, miles away from the nearest people. What was his name? Dave Lander's friend. Woodsman?
Oh, the
Yeah.
woodsmen, yeah.
I've
They're
lost track of
roommates.
time. How long have I been here? Many months. The longer the better. I have to stay away from people, remain in exile until I die, because I'm a murderer. A psycho killer.
That's the title.
Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, I didn't want to kill anybody. I never have. I just couldn't help myself. Couldn't stop once I started. It's happened to me. You're expecting something pretty grim here. It feels very EC Comics already. You know what I mean?
Right. And then the next panel, it's like him with a little boy in his underpants. So, like, oh man, I know why he's hiding in the woods. No, he's just a doctor, so.
How's Little League, Billy? Fine, Dr. Rabinowitz. I
That
remember the
Mark
day.
Hazard guy started shooting people.
It happened back in January, a perfectly normal day at the office in Manhattan, which is where Mark Hazard was shooting people. Okay. I was a pediatrician. I love children. Dude, I'm not sure I want to read this anymore. I figured once I had my own, I'd be the happiest man alive. He is walking down this
Yeah,
like
in your
grim
basement.
taxi driver street that would make like the first Joker movie look like Feel Good Bill.
Right.
It was that day that my world fell apart, and so you get
Why
say,
do I keep walking home going through Murder Alley?
well, there's a subway entrance, I guess. I don't know. Someone, I don't know, very rough looking dude. Don't you know, holds him up basically at knife part point. The mugger took me by surprise, but not as much as what happened next. Achoo. The problem I immediately have is it's very difficult to see what's going on. This guy is a paranormal. He has some power, but the way it's portrayed is a little hard for me to kind of figure out.
Yeah, I
It
guess
is.
it kind of gives the impression of like energy forcing its way out of him, and then it kind of like goes and like immolates things, I guess. But it
Yeah,
does look like
it's
he's
kind
kind
of
of sneezing it out.
stringy pink energy thing, beams are coming out of his nose, at least the first time, and maybe his chest too. And it wraps around people, so I'm not sure if I'm supposed to see any more than just sort of stringiness to it. Maybe you're right. And he is saying, my anger, hatred, and fear welled up inside of me, reached a boiling point, and found a release. So yeah, the stuff pours out of him, wraps around this guy, and just yeah, he just tortures him. It looks as like justice has given him the sword.
Burns him to bones.
As he's running away, I wasn't sure what had happened, but I felt my soul leaving me. I just lost control at the moment. I ran. He was certain he'd caused a man's death. Next day, he thinks, well, that was probably just a dream, right? Okay. He's at his desk. And his wife comes in. There you are, you wonderful hunk of a husband. And I've got news for you. He had lunch with his wife, Victoria, or Veronica. Did not tell her about the previous night. And she is telling him that she's decided career can't replace a family. You mean, oh, Ronnie, I've always wanted kids. So they're finally planning to have some kids. Uh-oh, they're back in Murder Alley. There are some
Why do we
no
keep
good
walking home
nicks.
this way?
Wait, there's other streets. What are we doing here? There's some tough gang that is breaking into a car down the
Like that
street.
their scary gang name is the Feds.
I
Oh, look, it's
love it. The
the
feds. The
Feds.
feds are on their way. Yeah, these are the guys who always carry the swastika flag to the right wing parade to glow in the dark. Anyway, hey you guys, get away from that car. Wife tells him not to get involved. If
Is
that's
that
not
even
his
his
car,
car?
I would not either. The guy is about to take him upside the head with a tire iron, but does the old swish. He strikes at him, but the anger came back with the hatred and fear grew within me, took on lives of their own, and let themselves out. And there he's sneezing out. Now it looks a little bit more like spooky something.
Yeah, kind of like arms grabbing at something a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty
Then it's also
striking.
purplish, purplish. So this time is much worse. I was more or less aware of what happened, but even more horribly, he was too. And so this punk is,
He's kind
got
of
his
looking him
eyes
in the eye
open.
as he's melting. Like,
It's just,
what'd you
yeah.
do, man? I was just trying to cave in your skull.
Veronica, his wife, saw it too. Oh Lord. And he there's this, ash in the shape of a man falls to the earth. He's like, no, not again. Somebody help me. Don't let him die. He's completely ash at this
Right, like
point.
the hand falls off. It's like breaks off in his hands.
There was nothing to be done except sweep him up. I'll
Dang.
never forget how the body crumbled in my hands.
Yeah,
So he goes to see a psychiatrist the next day. You say you witnessed two cases of spontaneous human combustion? I didn't just witness them, I caused them. He starts blathering on and on in that psychiatrist mumbo jumbo way, and bores Dr. Rabinowitz so badly that the soul leaves his body and attacks the psychiatrist. It was then I realized I had no control over what was happening. I'd killed an innocent man without a thought,
He
even though I
ignited his
wasn't.
oxygen molecules.
I had to get out of there. So he grabs the car and just drives out of town. No idea what to do. What if I started killing people I know, people I liked, everyone I met? He gets like a some guy honking behind him. He's like, shut up. And his soul leaves his body and kills whoever's in that car. He stops to take a look at it. Please, no more. He sees some lights, and at first I thought those were cops, but I don't know. He just is saying, kill me, don't let me live. He is then in a hospital bed. His wife is saying they want to keep you for observation, and we don't know what's happening. You were lucky you didn't get hit by a car. And he just tells her to leave. He is worried. He had to send her away. Couldn't hold back the tears any longer. So he drove all the way out to, the end of the earth, the woods. I can't have any more deaths on my head. No one knows where I am now. I am alone. I keep thinking of Veronica, the family I'll never have. Suddenly there's a knock at the door. Dr. Michael Rabinowitz? We're here about your student loans. Oh. How do you know who I am? Oh, we know many things, Dr. Rabinowitz, like about your special ability and the deaths. We make it our business to know things. We're the CIA. And we'd like to make you an offer. The beginning. This is the beginning of something. I don't have like a code name for him I could pick out of that. So it's just Dr. Michael Rabinowitz.
Maybe we can call him Rotzvow. It's not just the same origin story, but with more
Rotzvow
people around.
too. Yeah, I don't know. The CIA, you just like fired all of DP7 after he
This
spent
guy
all that time
accidentally
training
melts
them.
people. I mean, that's gonna be way better. I mean, or that maybe they're just gonna drop him on the family leech.
That'd be good. I don't know. Like I say, this it has the feel of an EC's horror story. The art is like we've seen for a couple of things that sort of outsider alternative vibe to it. It's not like crisp, clean Jim Lee art by any means.
Yeah, that's pretty good, I thought.
It's fine. It's definitely like there's a lot of feeling to it sometimes, and so it has that but the overall look to it is there's been a few. I don't know, I always think of like Merck Annual. That guy was very expressive. And it's a little, like I say, it's a whatever the power is, it's interesting, but it's sort of difficult the way it's drawn to sort of decode.
Yeah,
So,
it does make it kind of interesting though. So it's It's unique, you know. He's not like shooting ice beams or something that's been done a million times.
Yeah, it is definitely a scary, whatever, setup for something.
I
Guy
guess, I
is
mean, also, like,
completely.
is he just Cyclops then, kind of? Like, you know, can't control his eye beams kind of thing. Everything he looks at gets blasted.
Maybe.
Similar idea there, I guess, but a little spookier.
Yeah. If he shows up again, I will be surprised because it seems like it's a ways out from
Yeah, kind of
we're
run
running
out of
out of
time to
time.
build a new arc of backup stories.
Also, it is not, written by Nicieza or something, so it's not like, oh, this guy will come into Psi-Force. No, there's no connection to current ongoing creators, so
Yeah,
I don't
and
know.
if we've still never seen Blowout again from the draft, then like, what are the chances of seeing this guy, right?
This is true, yes. This is true. Well, let's see. Did we say Nukin for
I
justice?
don't think we said,
I will
but
give it a
I would say
Nukin.
Nukin for sure, yeah.
All righty. I want to make sure I have all my bases covered. Justice never, we never saw Angela at all. That's weird. Okay. That was my last note. That is
Oh.
it for this week's episode. Next time we check in on the teen runaways, just freed from Siberia and not killed by justice. Psi-Force.
Woo! Psi-Force 31. The team is reunited at last. Except for Tyrone and Michael. But is the reunion a cause for celebration or bitter recrimination?
Calling John Byrne, calling
Oh,
John
that's all we
Byrne.
get. written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Rodney Ramos, inked by Christopher Ivey, 32 pages, Mando, $1.50.
Well, it's a bit like the DP7 solicit from a month or two ago again. Instead of champagne and roses, it's a sad face and unhappy clown. Okay.
There's words in this comic book you should read.
Remember, you can always find us over at our website, kickersinc.com, and you can always email us at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
You mean that's it? He tries to kill you guys, and that's your whole response?
Or maybe, like you said, he figured, what's the point?